Sadie Nine.
BBC Essex. So our 3 of 3 today is talking about the tech that we simply can't live without. What is it? I want to know. What electric item could you never give up? I mean, are you constantly using your kettle to make cups of tea? Maybe it's your microwave. Gets more use than your oven in your household. Maybe it's those hair straighteners. You couldn't have fuzzy hair. I want to know. Call me on 0800 111 40 41. And why are we so reliant on our electricals? Well, someone who may be able to answer this is tech expert and self-professed gadget detective, Fevzi Turk Alp, and joins me now. Hello, Fevzi. Thanks very much indeed for joining us. So, what pieces of tech are we all most reliant on? Is it the kettle? Is it the iron? What is it?
I think it's our mobile phones, isn't it? Because we live through our mobile phones. You know, we our whole life is, you know, it's not just, well, one of the few things we do on them is actually talk on them, but it's not really what they're about. They're these sort of mobile communications devices. We get through websites, we get messaging, social media. There are cameras, there are video cameras. We set up calls on them. We run various apps. We exercise using them. They track our health. You know, it's an almost endless list of things that we do with our mobile phones. If ever there was a jack of all trades, it is that, but it's also a master of quite a few of them, I feel. So I think if you were to say to people, you know, what one piece of tech would you miss if we took it away from you the most, it probably, in most cases, would be people's mobile phones, more so than their tablets or desktop computers.
It is incredible, isn't it? Like even 10 years ago, you wouldn't have thought that you've got a computer in your hand. You don't need a purse. You don't need a wallet. You don't need anything, really, other than that. It's your tickets. You don't need tickets to things. You don't need a card, a bank card anymore. It really, it's you don't need a camera. You don't need a microphone. I mean, the microphones are amazing. It's quite incredible. And it has happened quite quickly, it seems to me. We've had mobile phones for years now, but this latest technology, it's just... Yeah. It's gone quite quickly, hasn't it?
The technology is amazing because it just enables you to do things that were not really possible before. And at the same time, the software has been improving. I noticed, thinking about what's going to happen in the future, and you look at companies like Google, who are, you know, for their various faults, a highly innovative company. And they came up with an AI system, an artificial intelligence system called Google Duplex. And Google Duplex, they demonstrated, and this was back in 2018, so it's improved since then. Google Duplex made a phone call on its owner's behalf, a normal audio call to a hairdresser, a real human hairdresser, and it booked an appointment for its boss, its owner, you, to have a hairdresser appointment. And it sounded human, and it had a conversation where it could understand what the hairdresser was saying. So it asked for an appointment at, I think it was 12 o'clock. And it said, well, the hairdresser said, well, we can offer you one at 1:15. And then the Google Duplex said, well, have you got anything between 10 and 12? You go, we've got 10. That's fine. I'll take that. And it was even making like little sounds like we do in between when we're speaking. And one of the really interesting things is, now, do we need to bring in laws that require these AIs to identify themselves as artificial when they're doing our bidding? Because, you know, like the expression, my people will get together with your people. Well, actually, my AI will get together with your AI, and we will have these personal assistants going forward that are really very, very smart. I mean, much smarter than, you know, Google Assistant or Siri or Alexa and all of that sort of thing. It will get much smarter. We will lose all our privacy, because just like if you have your own butler, that butler would know everything about you, or your personal assistant would know everything about you and would remind you to get gifts for your partner or your children or whatever. They will know everything about you. But the difference is, instead of being in your employ, you'll be sharing a lot of that information with, a techno megalith companies, you know, it's just huge companies. But we're going to move into interesting times, you know, the world is changing.
And interesting you saying that, and saying there should there be a law that they have to say this is an AI talking to you. Yeah. I mean, should that be brought in sooner rather than later? We seem to sometimes play catch up with things. Like when there was all the thing about all our details of ourselves, all our personal details just going into the mire, and suddenly it was like, no, you're not allowed to do that. All these companies ringing up, and then suddenly it comes out like 2 years, 10 years later, oh, you're not allowed to just call people unsolicited wise. I mean, we're very late on stuff. We're chasing the technology all the time.
That's right. And we're coming up to the point now where it will be hard, at least in the with a short conversation, to tell whether you're talking to a machine or a person. So this was Turing. You remember Turing, who cracked the Enigma code during the Second World War, or helped crack it, I should say. There's a test night named after him called the Turing test, which is a test whether a machine can truly be thought to be intelligent or not. And the Turing test is, if you talk to a machine, or you talk to an entity, could be a machine or a person, and you can't tell whether it's a person or a machine, then the machine is intelligent. You know, that's one definition of intelligence. And we're coming up to the point where these machines can, in at least sort of limited circumstances, pass the Turing test. So, yeah, if it's important to us to know that we're talking to a machine, then this is the time to start putting together the legislation, because that technology is coming. Mm. As I said, that convincing conversation took place in 2018, 3 years ago. And Google will not have rested on their laurels. Of course, you will get to a point where when these AIs are sufficiently intelligent and maybe sentient, self-aware, is it then discriminatory to say you should point it out? I mean, if someone was of a different skin colour, should they say that they are black or Asian or white or what have you? Or should it not matter to us? So when they come in the short term, you can say, yes, it matters because we need to know we're talking to a machine. But when the machine is as agile on its feet as you are in terms of conversation and knowledge, then should it matter? And at some point, will the AI at some point object to this and say it's discriminatory? I suppose at the point when the AI objects, that's when you have to start doing away with those sorts of laws.
Then you have to start turning it off, is what I think, actually. And how can they? I mean, my producer, Owen, was telling me, and remind me, Owen, what you were actually thinking about the other day. He was thinking about something the other day, if Owen's there and listening to me. Right, so he was thinking, wouldn't it be great to be able to have, you know, you get these trays in cars, so you can flip down the back and you can sit there and you can have a sandwich on a tray, or you can have a burger on a tray. And even now, lots of them in the front, they will have it in the passenger side. You can have a little flip and you've got a tray. I've got a thing with two drink holders. And he was thinking to himself, it'd be really clever if they made a tray that actually fits on a steering wheel. So, and the next thing that popped up on his computer was one of these adverts that said this tray on a steering wheel. Now, are they in there yet?
So, you know, there's a lot spoken about this, and there have been instances of various apps listening in to us. So I wouldn't say it doesn't happen. Also, what we often think of as being spied on directly, i.e. they must have heard that conversation, is more to do with the fact that they know so much about us and the way that we think and our habits and so forth, that they start to predict. It's, as I said, like a good personal assistant who knows what you need before you articulate it or before you're even aware you need it. And in a sense, you've got that sort of thing. But of course, you know, I don't know that trays attached to steering wheels are the future, in that steering wheels are not the future. That the cars are increasingly driving themselves, and that we are increasingly passengers. So the fact that you sit in what used to be known as a driver's seat, you know, at the moment, you know, with self-driving cars, you still have to be in the driver's seat and willing and able to take over should the need arise. But, you know, we've had planes that you know, can effectively take off, travel and land by themselves for a long time. But still, we have human beings in the cockpit just in case something goes wrong. But increasingly, we will not only come to rely upon these intelligent technologies more, but they will be safer. So, for example, when you come up for surgery, God forbid you need surgery, but if at some point you do, only poor people will have to have human surgeons.
You know, really?
If you can't afford a machine to do it. I mean, there's already a machine. It's called a Da Vinci robot. It does surgery. It's got several arms and it does surgery, and it can be controlled remotely by so let's say there's like the best surgeon in the world, but he's in one, or he or she is in one country, and the patient is in a different country. Maybe you're in a war zone where, you know, you can't easily get a surgeon. You could potentially control that robot and do it remotely. But the next step from that is that the robot will do it for itself, and it will do it better than us. And cars that drive themselves will be safer than human drivers. Pilots, automatic pilots that fly planes will be safer than, you know, and we'll come to the point where we not only depend upon them, but we trust them more, and statistically they will be safer than us. We'll go through a little bit of a transitional period where that's not true. You know, you may have the odd rogue robot go crazy during a surgery, but overall, and in not too long a time, they will take over. And also, not just that, you think about lawyers and accountants, and we think of those as human beings, but actually those are things that are very ripe for modern AI to be able to take over. And then how would you feel about, because, you know, lawyers sometimes become judges, how would you feel about a machine sitting in judgment in a court?
It would be consistent
and it would know all the case law, and you wouldn't get these little rogue decisions. You know, like human judges every now and then throw out really odd decisions.
Yeah.
You should
and
do
also
away
you,
with that.
You'd never get a misogynist judge or a racist or a homophobic judge or anyone who has thoughts that way.
You might, because actually some AIs have become very racist. Yeah, because what happens is the way an AI is generally trained is it's exposed to a huge amount of data, what they call big data. Yeah. So how does an AI recognize a cat? You can't really easily describe a cat in a way that will describe all cats in a way that a machine would understand it. But if you give it a million pictures of cat and a million pictures of not cat, it can work out what's common to all the pictures of cat, which is not common to not cat, and then identify a cat from any angle, any size, any breed of cat. It will identify it. Now, the problem with being trained by big data is that, you know, you've had the likes of IBM and others put AIs online, and human beings have interacted with it, and within a short period of time, I think it was Microsoft had to take one down because it became very, very badly racist because of what it was exposed to, which was us.
Crying.
Yeah, right. So and you also find that, say, with face recognition. So face recognition is a big deal there. Police forces are trying to use it without a proper legal framework for, you know, to identify people in the street and maybe arrest them if they're wanted for something. Now, it's not deliberate, but the technology of facial recognition doesn't work as well on darker skins as it does on lighter skins. So it's far more likely, so a black or Asian person more likely to get incorrectly arrested or detained because of an AI. Then they're not. It's not a deliberate thing.
I'm talking about kettles and what we need, and you have opened the door to a fascinating scenario of when we just have to live alongside AIs, and not only reliant on them, but trusting them with our lives as well. Absolutely fascinating. Thank you so much for joining us. I enjoyed that, didn't you? Fevzi Turkalp, thank you very much indeed. He does Gadget Detective. You can hear more of his musings at gadgetdetective.com. Absolutely fascinating. What at the moment can you not live without? And what do you think about these AIs? Should they have to identify themselves? Shouldn't there be a law like that straight away? If this is what's coming round the corner, they should have to say, you are speaking to an AI, and you know that you're speaking to an artificial intelligence. You know that, rather than, crikey, you could make a date with them, couldn't you?